You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The Jersey has closed its door for the day and also for another week. So it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Greg Davies, who's the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. I don't know whether it was load shedding or just because it's been a boring week or because people have gone to Japan, Greg, but I couldn't get any interviews today. Nobody wanted to talk to Lindsay Williams.
Yeah, I suppose it's been a flat week, really. A lot of people's minds are on the events of the weekend. A couple of our CEO and his partner are in Japan. We've got a couple of pictures of the guys walking around Tokyo, and looks a lot of excitement. So, yeah, the market's focus is a little bit off the markets today, and perhaps people – Joburg has got some killer heat at the moment, so I think everyone's a little bit worn out, gone home early to jump in the pool.
Yeah, sounds like it. Let's jump into the Stock Exchange News Service. I see a bit more trouble at Old Mutual at the board level. The resignation of the MD of Old Mutual Wealth or something, the share price down 1%, or is that unrelated to the stuff we've been talking about for a few weeks, Mr. Moyo?
Let me look at the timing here. They put it out at exactly at 5 o'clock, but this looked like someone preempted that because it did fall quite sharply. It actually put in a low at 1687, and then my screen is I forgot about the bigger part, and that's all wrong.
Old Mutual Limited.
Yeah, sorry, no, my chart and my screen weren't matching. Oh. It put in a low of 1999. Last traded price was 2021. So yes, down 1%, as you say, but I wonder if that market had time to react to that since announcement. Sounds like just housekeeping, really. But it's not a happy home, the Old Mutual home, at the moment.
No, it really isn't. I don't know if it's linked at all, but certainly the market a little bit jittery about what's going on in the higher echelons of that august institution. And what else we got here? We got Transex update regarding the West Coast resources. No, that need not detain us. Jasco, no. Tissot Blackstar Group trading statement. Yeah. Tissot Blackstar, Greg.
Well, you never like these ones which come, you know, always come at Friday, you know, late. Well, this one, what time did this one come out?
15:30, that's 3:30 to you.
Not having a good run yet, but I don't have it on my screen.
Oh, okay, in that case. Here's one that will test you anyway. Union Atlantic Minerals Limited, cautionary.
No idea.
It's last traded at 4 cents but didn't trade today, so it's one of those ones.
Yeah, I think we've got to make it, you know, anything under 2 billion, we can't mention on the pod.
I quite like it. Rolfs, you know this one. Rolfs has renewed a cautionary announcement. Share price up 1.5%. That's a decent company, isn't it?
It is, really. I've got to say that because my CEO is on the board there.
Fine company.
But, great little business.
Huge.
Nuggety little fighter. I'm not sure what they're busy negotiating. The share price finishing today, R2.73. So it seems to be a stock on its way back, but we'll have to wait for clarification. It does seem as though, when we've spoken about these cautionary announcements, that back in the day it was a month and the deal was done. Now it seems to roll on for months. So let's hope it's something positive for investors.
Yes, I remember in the old days when there used to be rumours about a cautionary coming out in a company, and certain people that I knew used to buy. And the next day, when it says cautionary, this was in the late 1990s, the word cautionary immediately meant that you had 4 or 5% to the upside. Even if it was good or bad, people would just say, oh, look, there's a cautionary, let's buy it.
Yes, you normally, back in the day, it normally meant something positive. And so, it's not as reliable now. And I think what's happened is the regulators have tightened up on, and it's now a situation of if we just sit down and we start talking about doing a deal, we have to notify the market. I think back in the day, it was much closer to the consummation of some sort of deal where they would find it. But I think these days with emails and WhatsApps and things, it's much harder to keep these stories under wraps and secretaries sneaking, notes out of the back office and all of that. These things leaked out. So the market's got to keep these things very locked down.
I say it was the secretaries, not the traders, yeah?
Obviously.
I've got a few emails about that comment. Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices. 14.81 is the dollar rand, British pound against the rand 19.08, and the euro rand 16.49 with the euro dollar 111.36. The gold price is, Greg Davies, 1491, which is barely changed. The platinum price is 887, which is barely changed. And over to you for palladium, please, if your screen will allow.
Yeah, palladium down $6 at the moment, $17.55. It's quite active today. So it's jumping, as I'm watching it, between $17.55 and $17.60. So some frantic trading in that space.
Brent crude oil, not so frantic, down 33 cents a barrel, just over 0.5% to $59.88. Was just above 60 this morning in the United States. Yeah, a little bit more action than the last 3 days. We've got the Dow Jones down a third of a percent, the S&P down 0.2%, and the Nasdaq, the hardest hit, down 0.5%, but pretty routine stuff. Of course, we've had the first week of results season, and I think that of the companies that have so far reported from the S&P 500, 80% have beaten expectations. I'm always slightly suspicious about the beating expectations. They can't beat all the time. People are downplaying the expectations, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I think there has been a case of where they're readjusting the expectations lower, and then I think that's what's helping the market.
Yeah, it's a Trump thing, you know. Oh, this is happening, yeah. That is happening. And then suddenly you're doing really well and you're a hero. It's that sort of psychology. I'll talk about Mr. Trump later on. I've got a nice quote for you. Greg, let's have a look at the movers today, the movers and shakers, the most viewed shares. Sibanye keeps on creeping up. What was the recent low? About 14 rand a share. Look at it now, 26.
Yeah, mid-September, it was around in the sort of low 17 area. So it had quite a hard charge this morning into the late 26s. Finished the day still up 1.3%, 25 rand, 82, I think. Market's starting to realize this palladium bull market that's happening has got some legs. And, you know, fund managers are one thing they're afraid of is being underweight a sector that's moving. And so definitely a shift in the sort of perception of Sibanye at the moment, which I'm sure Mr. Frontman is enjoying.
Fear of being underweight, FOBU, Greg, that's a new one. Aspen, barely changed, at just below 103. And Sasol, down 1% at just below 282. Not much to talk about. Let's have a look at the movers.
I wonder if Sasol mustn't be part of your fictitious hedge funder. I think I'm just starting to get a good feeling about it, but I might be wrong. Let's do something.
What do you mean to the upside?
Yes.
I want to see what happens to two things. I want to see that 250 being tested again, and if it holds, I'll get long of it. The 280 is a nothing price to me, but I also want to see what happens with Saudi Aramco, because if Saudi Aramco's IPO, which has been cancelled, I think, for the third time in the last 36 hours, if that comes onto the market, won't people that invest in oil companies have to pull some money out of other oil companies, or does it not work like that?
No, I think you've got a good point there, because obviously the weightings and the exposure, and that's a massive company. You would probably find some money would flow that way. So yeah, let's put those both in our minds when we were looking at Sasol and saying, let's see that 250 level tested. If it holds, then we maybe add to the hedge fund.
Okay, good. To the upside on the JSE today, this final trading day of the week. Harmony up 3.4%, Kumba Iron Ore 2.9% to the good. My screen has just refreshed. Sappy up 2.1%, Assor 2.1%. So we've got Assor and Kumba Iron Ore who have had a few torrid days in the last week or so have bounced back quite nicely, and AngloGold Ashanti up 2.02%. So all five of those are in different ways commodities companies. Nice move.
Yeah, look, the Kumba and the AngloGold both got upgrades from Goldman Sachs today, but that's also typical of these things. No one was looking at these shares. Now that they've, AngloGold, from the beginning of the year, has gone from 160 Rand to 307, and now it's getting upgraded. So, you always wonder what's happening in the background when people only notice, these stocks. Now, sometimes I suppose it's the size of them that become bigger market caps. They attract the interests of the bigger players.
On the downside, this is a big one, Intuprop down 5.1%. People getting nervous about tomorrow's vote. And there's also been something else as well, some new little quirk that could mean that there's an extension or Britain crashes out on the 31st. I don't know. But anyway, Intuprop not liking that very much. 5.1% weaker. Sogo Sun also 5.1% down. Roynet, a near 5% loser. Trust Co down 4.9%. And Netcare down 3.9%, Greg.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed with my shorter-term hedge fund type guys. All came in midweek through me, took positions as if the Brexit deal was done. And from about lunchtime, started getting calls and go, maybe we should just lighten that position because it doesn't look like a slam dunk for this Brexit by any means. And we don't want to have big exposure come Monday morning when, this Brexit deal, we don't know how much of a backward step it's really going to take. Is it going to be, all right, we need to hammer out a deal to get through the British Parliament? or are we close to something? And so investors are very skittish around the Brexit trade.
Yeah, they are. JSE closing indices on this final day of the week, please, Greg.
Sure. Let's go through them. Just got to make that screen a little bit bigger. Right. The banks up 1.25%. Financials up 0.79%. Retailers up 0.96%. Industrials down 0.55%. Gold index positive up 1.75%. Platinum down 1.14%. Resources up 0.25%. That left the all share down 0.48%, down 271 points at 55,723. Interesting, the volume I was watching just going into the auction, we'd sat on 12 billion. But in the actual auction, we jumped up to 21 billion. So some big lines. I think a lot of people waiting for the closing auction to finish off orders and position themselves. If I go into the most active, in other words, the biggest value traders, if nothing unusual, I always look through that and see if a stock that you don't normally see on that list suddenly appears there. Perhaps the most interesting one in the top 10, Impala Platinum, doing some big volume. Let me look at the value of trade there. 571 million rands worth of Impala. The share down 1.6%, 102.53 off its recent highs. But interesting that sort of volume going through that counter.
Greg, are you familiar with a gentleman by the name of James N. Mattis?
He's a general in the U.S., one of the most overrated generals, Trump was telling
us. This is where I'm leading. James Norman Mattis is an American veteran and former government official who served as the 26th United States Secretary of Defense from January 2017 until December 2018, when he was kicked out by Donald Trump. He's a retired United States Marine Corps general, and he served in the Persian Gulf War, the war in Afghanistan. He got his Distinguished Service Medal, and goes on and on and on. And he was described by Donald J. Trump, the President of the United States, as the most overrated general in history. And at that same speech, Mr. Trump...
That's quite a claim, because there have been some terrible...
Well, I'm not a military person like you are, but you would know better than me, so I'll take your word for it. But also, Mr. Trump, during that same speech, criticised Abraham Lincoln. He said something about Lincoln being a stiff, and the only way you can sound like Lincoln, all you have to do to sound like Lincoln is to button up your jacket and stand erect. And I thought, okay, James Mattis, maybe, because you don't get on with him and you insult people. But anyway, Mattis came back at a speech two nights later and said the following. It was not the foreign aggressor we must fear. This is quoting Abraham Lincoln, by the way, from a speech in Springfield, Illinois, at a place called the Lyceum in 1838. It was not the foreign aggressor we must fear. It is corrosion from within, the rot, the viciousness, the lassitude, the ignorance. Anarchy is one potential consequence of all this. Another is the rise of an ambitious leader unfettered by conscience or precedent or decency. So Abraham Lincoln was almost like Nostradamus predicting the rise of Donald Trump. Quite prophetic.
I think Lincoln was a slave owner in Donald's defense. But
he turned it over. No, Donald Trump wasn't talking about the slave. I mean, have you seen the wages he pays at the Trump residences? He's a modern-day slave owner, I can tell you, with those wages. He pays minimum wage.
I did like it when they asked him what's it like in the White House, and he said it's a dump.
Yeah. And also like what Mattis said just to end this week, Greg, before we talk about sport. Mattis said, I earned my spurs on the battlefield. You'd earned yours with a doctor's note.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like it. But the truth is you don't see any generals on a battlefield. They're sitting, back.
They've earned the reason to be sitting there, pushing things around on the desk and say, well, these people have got to go in here and that. You know that, Greg. You're an army man.
Mm. The war room with those plastic, those long sticks and pushing those tanks around.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the ones from the Blackadder series. Right, Jerry is going to be over that hill there, and so we'll have a pincer movement to the left, and you, Smudger, you bring in your boys from the front.
That's exactly what I was picturing with Mattis.
Greg, just to end, we have to have some predictions for the sport this weekend. Let's have some informal bets. First one, England-Australia.
England.
Okay, so I'm with you there. Wales-France.
I have to say France, but my heart says Wales, but I'll go France.
I'm going to go Wales on that one, so it's equal with that one. So Wales, Williams, because I am Welsh, and France, Greg, because he's been to France. Let's have a look at Ireland versus New Zealand, please.
Yeah, it'd have to be New Zealand. But again, the heart island, but the brain, New Zealand.
Japan, South Africa, heart and head in sharp focus here. They're going to be against each other. You know that Japan's going to win, but you want South Africa to, right?
No, I know South Africa's going to win. I want it to win.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, South Africa's going to win that one. Okay, so the only one we disagreed on was Wales and France. Man United, Liverpool at Old Trafford.
I'm going to go with a draw, 1-1. lucky penalty in the whole 5 minutes.
It's very funny. Okay, obviously I'm going for Liverpool. I'll stick my neck out and say it'll be a minimum of a 2-goal margin.
Probably, yeah. Probably brain says that. But, I mean, you know, with these type of games, people do lift their game. The way we've been United have been playing.
Can't be difficult to lift it.
Yeah, they put off a very low base, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Greg Davies is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. Thanks for your contributions this week and tonight. And he'll be back on Monday morning with the opening. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.